he kind of pretty well cleared out that they wouldn't bother him too much, and he went to bed and went to sleep. It was just about dawn that he heard somebody singing, or it sounded like somebody in the distance singing one of those old Rafter songs. I don't know, was it Gary Rocks or one of those
songs? Hope for the
Shore. Hope for the Shore. And he couldn't understand it. The melody was right and everything. Finally, he got up and he investigated. Then those bed bugs had gathered those burnt matchsticks in the chamber, and they were just pulling them around. <ran them. laughs>
Well,
well,
you know.
But I think I shouldn't tell that. But I think this group here was really born in the fortunate time. I know I have. I'm going to preface the story of Bluestones by saying that I think I was born in a very fortunate time. In that, as a farmer, I learned to farm with horses. I know what it is to follow behind a team of horses and turn over a fur, and to live. You actually live with your horses, especially as a teamster. You were sometimes 12, 14 hours with them. You got so that the horses become, well, very close to you. But when it comes to the Bluestone, we think that we saw part of the Bluestone industry, but all we saw was the death of it. Because the Bluestone, though very important in its day, and very big, still at the time that we saw it, it had gone down considerable from what it had been. In talking of the Bluestone, I find I gotta confine myself to an area down where I live, that is down through Jockey Hill, Hollins Hill, Stony Hollow. Probably that was the heart of the Bluestone area. It was down in there where the first stone was taken from Murray Hill, according to the legends. Though from folk stories carried down through in the Joy family, the first stone taken out was taken out along the Murray Hill Road, not as flagstone or cut, but was taken out as grinding stones. There's one quarry there. They call it Greystone, and that quarry was prior to the time that the Bluestone industry started for grindstones. The group of people that moved in through this area came from Ireland. They came because they were forced to come over to this country due to the potato famine. They were from the North Island and different parts of Ireland. The later migrations, they married the offsprings of these early people that came over. And of course, there's many stories down through there they brought their songs, their dances, and their stories from the other side, and they were carried on through from one generation to the other. And when we come to hair-raising stories, they certainly could tell. Speaking with many of the old men, which I was fortunate enough to do, they said when the old timers would tell stories, like at a meeting here, well, it wouldn't be a big meeting, but it'd be a family group getting together. And these other neighbors that came in there, none of them would go home unless there were six or seven in the group. And then they'd need a lantern to do it with. As they said, we saw the dying of the Bluestone, yet I remember when I went to school, there would be long lines of these teams with Bluestone. The summertime would be the wagons, and the wintertime, why, it would be on the slaves. And at that time, well, it was first man into the quarries, got the first load. Many of them was in the quarries at 6:30, and if you know 6:30 in the wintertime, that's dark. Many of them, before they started for the quarries, had milked the cows, and done the rest of the shores around the barn. And most of the time, it was dark before they got back again to start in. The quarrymen themselves, through that area of Jockey Hill, lived what was known as company houses. In the beginning, it was big companies operated in quarries there, and they built up houses 16 by 30 feet with four rooms, two downstairs and two upstairs, with small cellar stash window for the upstairs room. There was a stairs came direct, the door was in the center of the house, that is the long end of the house, and the stairs went directly up to the upstairs from just about 3 foot distance from the doorway. Even though the house was small, it made quite a good accommodations so that families of 12, 14 could be well raised. Of course, they were well acquainted. There was no doubt about that. Most of the families had a cow. And in between maybe two, three families, there would be a horse, because though they had a garden, they had the cow, they would raise a pig or two, they always had to go to Kingston for supplies. And of course, on Sunday, to the churches. Many, before the church was built on Jockey Hill, and over in Stony Hollow there, the stone wagons were used on Sunday to transport the people down to church in Kingston, down to St. Mary's Church down Rundown. As they said, there many stories come down with it, and you run across stories of strong men. Well, we have one story there of a strong woman, Bess Butler. They say that when she went to water to get water from the spring, she had a knitted hat that she put on her head, and she had a tub similar to, well, these butter tubs, lard tubs. She used to carry that filled with water on her head, and a pail in each hand. Some of these tall stories that come out from things like that, that Bess Butler actually lived, but the story that was told leaning up against the bar, where usually the tall story was told, was that Bess one time went down into the cellar to bring up a barrel of herrings. And she got the barrel to the top step, and she fell down. Well, at the bar, there was another fellow there. He kind of doubted that she could pick up a barrel of herrings and carry it up, even up to the top step. So he questioned one of the other fellows, and he said, "Sure, my grandmother told me she was there, and she went down and picked up the barrel of herrings and Bess Butler and carried them both up." The ghost stories, unfortunately, they disappeared too quick. They had one that was quite interesting about a strange appearing place from a man that came on Holland's Hill there for a time. Well, nobody would go near him, and as soon as anybody saw him, they ran. But there was one fellow, he was a little bolder, and he waited till this fellow come up to him. The fellow carried a lantern lit in the daytime in a big long night. And he said, Mike waited there for this fellow to come up. And this fellow looked at Mike and he says, "You need a shave." Well, Mike says, "I actually saw the man's lip move." He reached for his knife, and he was going to give me a shave, but he says, "God, that was too much for me," because he says, "You know, the fella, he didn't have his head on his neck, he had it under his arm." Another little thing that they had down there, maybe it might remind some of the old timers here, the chicken roast that they used to have. Of course, they fellow did start, probably start out from some tavern, they're going to have a chicken roast. And they figure out whose hen roost was going to be raided. Of course, the secret would be whose hen roost was going to be raided. But at the same time, it was always made sure that whoever's hens were stolen, why, they would be present to have some of the chicken. The chickens were killed, rolled in clay, and the fire was built, and the chicken feathers and everything was put down in the ashes and baked down there. And of course, when the chickens was done, why, you just took the pulled the whole skin off and ate the meat right off the bones. They didn't think nothing about the inside. Of course, that was where the beer come in. With these chicken roasts, they had to be beer rolled. Because you got enough beer, why, then you didn't notice the inside or the feathers or anything else. This one time we had a, well, they called them hotels in that time. We had a hotel down there in Sawfield there. It was run by a man by the name of Bud Brophy. And they approached him, why, if he would supply the beer, they was going to supply the chickens. And they had quite a nice party. They had a roast there, the chickens, and had the beer, and they had a good time. But the next morning, Bud found out he not only supplied the beer, but he'd also supplied the chickens. After that, they said for about 4 or 5 weeks, the beer was so short that the hotel said, none of them wanted to get down it. I don't know, there's many things you could cover on it, but I think I'll set it off here.
Okay.
Now, this has started an awful lot of stories here, but unfortunately, we've got to stop now. We have here Jesse Scherter of Samsonville, a lumberman who has a lot of stories, Mr. Wood here, but the time is getting late, and I think that maybe we better end our Cracker Barrel session now and move our benches back and get ready for some square dancing. And Mr. Van Cleek, I'm going to ask him to call the first dance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
cleaning up tonight. Those who were not senior camp counselors who applauded. Does anyone have the pictures of Raoul Bell? Okay, Alan wants them because he's leaving soon. Okay, on with that.
Thank you. All right, the commission's over here.